This morning, I want to begin with mentioning something I had said last week. I've only gone fishing in my life one time. I'm 61 years old. I know for a lot of people that sounds strange. Another thing I have not done very much of is gone out in the water in a boat. I went out one time as a young boy in a raft, a rubber raft. Didn't like that too well. Later on in life, one of my members took me out in one of his boats out into the sea. The waves were about 8 or 9 feet tall, and I didn't like that either. So I'm a land lover. I like to watch the water with my feet on dry ground. I've always said if you don't go out in a ship, don't go out in a boat, you can't capsize, and you can't shipwreck because I'm on dry land. Well, as you read the Bible, you find that you can have a shipwreck even though you do not go into the water. This is what Paul tells Timothy, his preacher boy, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. He says, I commit unto you my son Timothy, not his real son, but in a sense his adoptive preacher boy. I commit to you according to the prophecies which went before of thee, that thou by them might war a good warfare. Put up a good fight, he says. What is he to fight for? He says, hold on to your faith and hold on to a good conscience, which some have put away concerning their faith and have made shipwreck. Now there you see you can have a shipwreck and not set foot on water. A shipwreck of faith. Also in 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 12, Paul says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. What does he mean, hold on eternal life? That's a strange expression. You got it, then yet he says you better hold on to it. And don't let your faith get shipwrecked. Now the faith I believe Paul is talking about here is what we call normally saving faith. Salvation faith. The faith that you use to enter the kingdom of God, to get born again, we call this saving faith. I think a lot of people are confused about this question of what is saving faith. What does it mean to believe in Jesus Christ? So maybe I'll be going over old ground again today for some, but again, I believe this is a real crucial issue that Paul even tells his learned preacher boy, Timothy, don't let your saving faith get shipwrecked, get destroyed. Now, normally we associate saving faith with salvation. There's little else to associate it with. Acts chapter 16, verse 30 and 31, and they brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Paul has been in jail, in prison, and they bring him out, and the jailkeeper says, Paul, what can I do or must I do to be saved? There's that word saved. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now, Paul talks about putting up a fight. He said to Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. That is, you're going to have to fight to keep your salvation true and strong, that is your salvation faith, healthy and alive and sound. You give, in a sense, are given new birth when you get saved, but also, I believe it's the birth of your saving faith, and your saving faith needs to grow and get stronger and stronger every day of your Christian life. We have very little said about a growing faith as though it's a little child that needs to grow up and get stronger and stronger. And this faith needs to fight for its survival. Most of us never heard such a thing as this. Because Paul is talking about, don't let your saving faith in Christ as your Savior, get wrecked, get destroyed, get devastated. Now, folks, saving faith, I want to say this at the beginning, and I'll probably say it several times through this message. Saving faith longs for two kinds of salvation. Saving faith, number one, longs to have deliverance from death, from hell, from the condemnation of being lost, the suffering in the lake of fire. Salvation has this desire, has a want for this benefit. It also, please understand this now, saving faith wants more, desires more benefit than just that one. Saving faith also wants to be delivered from sin. Not just the penalty of sin, but from the power of sin over one's life. And true saving faith wants those two benefits. I really question a saving faith that does not want the second benefit. That is, I want Jesus to give me salvation from hell, but I don't want salvation from sin. Folks, the two go together. Saving faith involves both aspects of salvation. Saving faith brings to you both of these kinds of salvation. And it's this second one that Paul says, don't let it get shipwrecked. It'll wreck your first one. You cannot ignore salvation from sin and major solely on salvation from hell. You have to put the two together. Don't separate them. Don't let your faith get sidetracked, get lopsided, get crippled. Now, there are ample scriptures that imply saving faith is not only has a beginning, but it must proceed, it must grow. It's not something that's done in the past once and for all forever. It's a thing that once started must be finished. Once started must be maintained. That's why Paul says, Timothy, keep on fighting for your faith. Keep on struggling to keep your faith from having a shipwreck. Saving faith is not settled. It must continually be maintained. 1 Corinthians 15:1-2. Brethren, says Paul, I declare to you the gospel which I preached unto you, which you received, and now wherein you stand, by which also you are saved. Now notice this next part. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. And then there is Colossians chapter 1, verse 21 to 23. And you that were one time alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works to Christ, yet now hath Christ reconciled to himself in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Those three things come as a result of salvation from sin's power. All right? Now he says, he has come to give unto you this reconciliation, verse 23, if, please note these ifs, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, that's a shipwreck, which you have heard and which we have was preached to every creature which is under the heaven. Wherefore I, Paul, am made a minister. If you continue in the faith, then there's 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter days some shall depart from the faith. I don't believe that depart from having a desire to escape hell, but they'll depart from the desire to be saved from sin. that want to continue living in their sin and still be allowed to go to heaven. They really are saying, I only want half of the salvation package. I don't want a double dip, I just want a single dip. Now, folks, that's dangerous stuff. You start off with a single dip, but at the understanding as you go on through and your faith stays strong, there's going to come that double dip. By that, I mean you're going to get a second blessing, a second deliverance, a second salvation, and that is deliverance from sin itself. Not just from sin's penalty, which comes when you die, but you'll be delivered in this life from the sin's power itself. It's a twofold package, people. Salvation is a twofold blessing. It's a double dip benefit, if I can use that expression. And it's this second aspect that so many people allow to get shipwrecked. They get their eyes only on one dip and not on the other one. Or keep their eyes on the other one. Now he says, in the last days some shall depart from the faith. They shall give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. He says, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine, and you continue in them, for in doing this you shall save yourself. You shall save yourself. That is, your saving faith will be allowed to accomplish that which God intends for it to accomplish. Excuse me. Now, a shipwrecked faith may seem to you far-fetched, but let me tell you, these scriptures say it's not impossible. I don't think there's a warning for nothing given in these scriptures. Some time ago, you may remember this, that Ted Turner, who owns cable news, CNN, was being honored at a banquet. It was a humanist banquet, and he had won the Humanist Award of the Year, and in the speech of acceptance, he made the comment that he had been raised a Christian, had gone to church, and even contemplated becoming a missionary. Then his sister became ill. He prayed for her healing. She did not get well, but instead died. And he concluded that God was not loving and not worthy of his loyalty and his worship. And thus he chose to pursue then for the rest of his life fame, fortune, and pleasure. And he made the comment that Christians are losers, for they're all missing out on the good things of life. And if he goes on and goes to hell for the way he lives, then so be it. Now I ask the question, is Ted Turner an example of a person who had a faith that became shipwrecked? I'll leave that up to you. I don't really know. But by an act of faith, believing faith, you and I enter into God's family. But there becomes, folks, a need for a walk of faith, a life of faith, a conduct of faith. Hebrews 3:12, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief that will cause you to depart from the living God. The Bible says we shall live by faith, we shall walk by faith. What if we stop living by faith? And we stop walking by faith. What if we stop doing battle against sin? What if we no longer have any interest whatsoever in salvation from sin? What then? We say, Jesus is my Savior. You can't really say that unless you want Him to save you from sin. I mean, you're not being honest. You say, well, He's my Savior from hell. He's going to save you from sin also. I mean, that's the whole point, I think, from His viewpoint of salvation. That's where He gets His benefit, when you begin to obey Him and serve Him. If you call Him a Savior, well then, it's because He has saved you from hell, and He also is daily saving you as you allow Him from sin. So I believe it's important for us to keep this balance when we talk about saving faith. I think Ted Turner was right when he says Christians are losers. We have lost our sins, past sins. We've lost our guilt. We've lost our condemnation. We've lost our spiritual blindness. We've lost our bondage to sin. That's the one you see I'm talking about. The bondage of sin has been broken. You've been set free. And so in a sense, you know, he's right. We are losers, but these are worthwhile to lose. Just like losing weight if you're overweight. And so when you say, I have saving faith, I think you have to follow here now, people. He saves you from the penalty of sin the moment you get saved. But listen, from that day forward, you must allow him to save you from the power of sin. And please keep the two together. Are you going to shipwreck your faith? You can't accept Christ and live as you please and live like the devil. I mean, it doesn't work that way. Salvation brings about a change in you as a person, but it also brings about a change in your life from that day forward. You become a new person, but that person lives in a new way. You can't cross out the new way. You can't cross out the new walk. You can't cross out the new thought. You can't cross out the new talk. If you do, everybody's going to question whether or not you ever have salvation faith. I'm afraid some folks just go around offering folks just a half of the package, half the dip, half a boat, if I can put it that way. So I must not allow anything to shipwreck my saving faith, to convince me I no longer need a Savior from sin. Because that's the same one that saves you from hell. We don't have two Saviors. One that saves you from hell, another one that saves you from sin if you want to be. I mean, that's part of the deal of salvation. I watch out for my faith. And that's something whispers in my ear, well, you don't really need a purification salvation. Why, of course I do. Why, of course I do. Or to convince me that, well, just one part of salvation is important. And the other half is unimportant. It's not of any value. You're wrong, folks. This is what Paul is warning Timothy about. Fight to maintain this second aspect of salvation. That's going to make us fight, folks. You're going to have to put on a real fight against the world and the flesh and the devil if you're to overcome sin's power. It's going to require a fight not once in a while, but almost every day. Now, when I contemplate Christ as my Savior, I feel that I'm on a ground that gives me great assurance. There's little or nothing about Christ as Savior that we have not been told and we don't understand. And when you talk about Christ as my provider, I get confused. I'll be honest with you people. I think this is what tripped up old Ted Turner. When you talk about Christ being my provider, my faith gets kind of shaky. I don't understand why some are starving. I don't understand why the wicked prosper at times and the righteous don't. I don't understand when it comes to provisions, why some have so much and some have so little. I don't understand Christ always as my provider. I'll be honest with you. I don't understand Christ sometimes as my guide, as my shepherd. Why he shuts some doors and opens other doors. I don't understand that. Why I face some trials I don't understand. We'll say, I don't understand where you lead me. Why has this happened? And so, folks, when you talk about Christ as my God, my faith gets kind of shaky. I don't know sometimes what to believe. I just don't understand. You talk about Christ as my protector. Why was Daniel spared from the lions and the head of John the Baptist taken off? I don't understand. Why was Stephen stoned and others protected? I don't know. And so when you get me on the subject of Christ as my provider and my guide and my protector, I can get confused. my faith begins to stumble. But if I get on the subject of Christ as my Savior, I don't stumble. I have no questions, no doubts. I have absolute understanding and certainty. He has forgiven me. He has saved me. He has sanctified me. He has empowered me with the Holy Spirit. Every time I repent, He forgives me. No questions. I understand that. Every time I ask Him to help me have victory over sin, He will. No questions asked. And why would I want to throw away my saving faith because I have questions about Christ as my provider? Or as my God, or as my protector. Salvation is too important to me to throw it away because for some reason Christ does not give me everything I want. Does not prove to be the kind of God I want. I'm not going to lose my salvation because Satan says, pick a quarrel with Jesus Christ. Because He was not a good God. He is a good God. I just don't understand that sometimes. He is a good provider. I don't understand that either. Or protector. I don't understand Him there always. But I am not going to throw away my salvation because I don't understand the other aspects of Christ's dealings in my life. It's as Savior we know Him best. And it's as Savior we understand Him completely. So I want us to understand this about Jesus Christ as our Savior. And when your faith begins to tremble because of these other areas where Christ does not guide you where you want to be, or God does not provide you with what you ask, or God does not protect you as you desire, that you come back and say, I know He is my Savior. He is my Savior. Now, saving faith is something that must be maintained. And the devil will challenge us as often as he can, especially in these other three areas. You don't want to follow Jesus. Why, you prayed and He didn't answer your prayer. He didn't give you that provision you wanted. Why, I just reject Him. Folks, you don't throw away your Savior because somehow He didn't do exactly as you thought He ought to. You don't get rid of your salvation because you did not get some kind of provision that you desired for and longed for and asked for and felt you needed. Salvation is the most important thing He will ever give you. Being Savior is the most important thing that you could ever have Him be. And so saving faith not only wants to be delivered from hell, to repeat myself, but it also is interested in being delivered from sin. I go a step further in being protected from sin. That is, if you have become what you call born again, you don't really believe that Christ is willing to excuse your sin, do you? You don't really believe He's going to be agreeable to hiding your sin, to you continually practicing your sin. You don't really think He's going to justify your sin. I mean, if that's the way you believe, you don't really want salvation in the fullest meaning, do you? We must keep in mind that salvation involves two things. Deliverance from the penalty of sin, which is death in hell, and deliverance from the power of sin. I mean, that is a full salvation. So when you say, I have saving faith, you're saying, in the real sense, I have a sanctifying faith. My saving faith will enable me to be delivered and overcome and fight against sin in my life. I get saved, but then I must pursue a full salvation. I get saved, but I must pursue a complete salvation. Complete salvation is deliverance from sin. No matter how many times I fall and fail, I must get up and say, I'm going to strive again. My ship will not stay wrecked. My ship will not sink. I will patch the hole, and I will sail again, and I will try again to overcome this sin. Sin is not allowable. Sin is not tolerable. Sin is not acceptable in my life. And that's what I think we have to have, a saving faith that is willing to seek and pursue a full salvation. A full salvation involves, one, getting saved. Number two, getting delivered from sin's power over our life. What the Bible calls sanctification. Saving faith produces not only a child, it produces a walk. It produces a life for that child to live. And you can't separate the two. Examine your faith this morning. Is it a saving faith? Is it saving you from sin? Or have you experienced shipwreck? We talk about salvation. We're talking about salvation that provides us with a Savior who takes away the penalty and the power. You think about it. Don't let your saving faith get shipwrecked. Saving faith longs for two salvations, one from hell, the other for sin. Do you have operating in your life saving faith?